الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Alhamdulillah, today, as we are aware, is called the 15th of Sha'ban. And as far as the 15th of Sha'ban is concerned, a lot of Sahaba and a lot of Tabi'een and a lot of those that have been very, very pious, Muttaqeen, took these days very, very seriously. Sadly, some of us only take the 15th of Sha'ban very, very seriously. Yet we know from the hadith of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that in the month of Sha'ban, he would sometimes fast so much that people would actually begin to think Ramadan has started. In other words, he used to fast so much in the month of Sha'ban that the Sahaba actually would think that he would not stop fasting. And there were times in which he would not fast, and they would think, now he will not even fast. The point being that we have to be very balanced regarding this given month. And some of us, unfortunately, every year on the 15th, we have to fast. Every year on the 15th, we have to give out candy to everybody. Every year on the 15th, we have to give out all these big parties. Now, where do we get these things from? That is why, as people of faith, we have to always ask ourselves one very important question. What did my Allah request that I do? What did my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what did he do? So we learn something very beautiful from these various ahadith, that it is a great month and it is a beautiful month. And it is a month in which we should increase our ibadat from the beginning of the month. Not just wait for the 15th. We should do it from the beginning of the month. For those of us that have the energy, we should fast. For those that don't have the energy, we should at least start praying more. And there are certain prescriptions, there are certain recommendations that the scholars have made and derived from the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And amongst the things that they have said that we should try and do in this given month, number one, of course, is fasting. But more important than fasting is the ability to make istighfar. Is the ability to make istighfar. See, my brothers, you can fast and beautify your heart all you want, your mind all you want. But if you are not going to forgive and ask Allah for forgiveness and seek forgiveness and be forgiven, then what are you adding on to? It's like beautifying, you know, these young boys, mashallah, may Allah bless them. I hope he's not in that category, the young boy over here. But you know, they spend all this money on the rims, on the tires. And they do the cars up. And they do they have that nice sound system. And you say, brother, but you know, that's a very nice car. How much did you get it for? Oh, I got it salvaged. SubhanAllah. You got a $20,000 car salvaged for $3,000. And the wheels and the paintwork you're doing is costing you $10,000. And you're only going to get 3,000 when you go to sell it, because people know it is salvaged. See, it doesn't make sense. We actually laugh at these young boys, but that's exactly what we are doing as adults. What are we doing as adults? We do all this fasting, we do all this reciting of Quran, but we are not forgiven. We're not forgiven by our husbands, we're not forgiven by our wives, we're not forgiven by our children, we're not forgiven by our parents. We are still having family conflict. We're going at it. I'm going to teach that brother of mine a lesson. I'm going to teach the sister of mine a lesson. Really? Is that what you are created for, to teach people a lesson? The Quran says, Allah sent Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Bashira wa Nadira, as the one that gives glad tidings and as the one that informs people and warns people. Now you want to do that also? You want to become a Nadir? You know, I want to warn. First, we have to warn ourselves. Forget about warning others. As I always say to our brothers and sisters, let's warn ourselves first. Do we get ourselves
to Fajr Salah on time? Do we start reading the Yasin? Rasul said, I would love for every one of my members of my Ummah to memorize the Yasin. How many of us have memorized the Yasin? We know death is a reality. Yet, we do not read the Surah Mulk at night. We know we want benefit in sustenance. What is the Surah that gives us benefit for sustenance? Surah Waqiyah. Yet, we have to do crafty little things to make our money. Okay, I'll do this, but don't tell anyone. Or I'll do that, but don't tell anyone. It's between me and you. Why? Because we know if people find out we have a few extra dollars, they may not give us the next dollar. Or whatever it is. But yet we know Surah Waqiyah, by reading it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us barakah. There were sahaba, and I mentioned this before to you. There were certain sahaba that said, I will just teach my children the Surah Waqiyah. And I know, and I have so much yaqeen in Allah, that when I die, I know it is through the barakah of Surah Waqiyah, they will be taken care of. And I mentioned this many times before. Some of these sahaba, their daughters ended up being what we will call in today's time, millionaires. Because they will read the Surah Waqiyah religiously every day after Maghrib. Not because they wanted to be millionaires, but because they believed that Allah has a system of giving us barakah. So barakah is a reality. So what we are talking about here is to get to this barakah and to get to this reality, you have to take the first thing very seriously, is continual istighfar. Asking Allah for forgiveness. Oh Allah, while I was performing, that's why when you finish our salah, some people say astaghfirullah. Why do you say astaghfirullah after salah? Because, oh Allah, while I was performing salah, there may have been evil thoughts that went through my mind. So, oh Allah, forgive me. You know, they say our istighfar also needs the istighfar. But some people, they make a spectacle of it. After they make salam, they go, astaghfirullah, to show the whole world how great they are. No, that's also a sin. In your istighfar now, you're making a sin. So the idea of istighfar is not to show off to the whole world. The idea of istighfar is you and your Allah. Oh Allah, I've done wrong. You know, it comes in the hadith. You must not even expose the wrongs you have done. And nowadays, when we go through our change, we change a little bit. And the guy will say, you know, back in the days, I used to do this and I used to do that. That in itself is a sin. That means even now that you're trying to be religious, you're talking of a bad past. If you're talking of your bad past, what are you saying? That now I'm good, back then I was bad. So now you are proud that you are good. That in itself is a sin. So what's the point here we are making? Istighfar is a powerful thing. It's a personal relationship between you and your Allah. We're not like some faiths out there, and they have their way of doing things, and that's fine. You know, they have to go to the priest, and they tell the priest, or whoever the person is in charge, you know, I sinned, and he'll say, give me $5. And thereafter, he'll give $5, somewhere he'll give. And thereafter, you'll be forgiven for your sins. We don't do that. Ours is us and our Allah. And so one way, it's this way and that. And the other is between us and our people. If we've done something wrong, we make up for it. Somehow we make up for it. And there are different ways of making up for it. For example, with a family member, you ask them for forgiveness. You know, there was one fellow, may Allah shower a tremendous amount of mercy on him. Wonderful guy, he was in class. He was one of the few guys in class that were married. And when the teacher mentioned this about his forgiveness, he went home, he asked his wife for forgiveness. Then after Asr Salah, we saw him, you know, after Asr in Madrasa, in our school, we used to have off from Asr to Maghrib. So we saw him walking back from the stores. He had this bag and he had flowers and he had all these things. So we said, what's going on? What's your anniversary or something, you know? You got all these things. He says, today sheikhs told us to ask our wives for forgiveness, because if we don't ask our wives for forgiveness, the dead gender will be bigger. So we said, okay, so why you got all these bags in your hand? You have food in your hand, you have this flowers in your hand, and you bought some other gadget. He says, because I want her to forgive me, but I don't want her Jannah to be bigger than me. So I'm going to give her this. So Allah knows I did two things. I asked for the forgiveness and I also gave something on top of that. This is what deen is all about. It's not about just saying, oh, they forgave me now. No, this is the big gimmick we do. When before people go for Hajj or Umrah, brother, you forgive me, brother, you forgive me. And then we feel good about ourselves. Some people are too shy to tell you on your face, you know what, just get away from here, man. I'm never going to forgive you. Your own wife will not even tell you that sometimes, but she just says to the kids, your father, I don't know what your father is about. You know, so how do you make up? You don't just say, I ask for forgiveness. We have to ask for forgiveness and do things thereafter that proves the worthiness of our forgiveness thereafter. So two things. One is tawbah, you and your Allah, and making good on that. So if you didn't give your zakah, you didn't fast for last year, then the hadith used to say, Rasulullah ﷺ advocated this, that in this month of Sha'ban, what do? You make up for all your previous fasts. Now many people, unfortunately, got a habit, they only do the makeup in Sha'ban. They wait for Sha'ban to come, then they start making up for the previous years. Then when Ramadan comes, they're so tired, they can barely even fast. So sometimes they stop fasting in Ramadan. This is also wrong. That is why the ulama say that if you are not used to fasting the entire year, then you don't just start fasting closer to Ramadan. Because if you do that, you'll tire your body out. And if you tire your body out, you won't be able to appreciate Ramadan thereafter. So therefore, it's important that if our women folk has missed any fast throughout the year, yes, they should try to make it up by now. We agree with that. But at the same time, what we should train ourselves to do is the fast that we have missed last year, try to make it up immediately when we gain our strength or when the illness has moved or when we are capable to do so. So inshallah, these are two things now we should do. Ask Allah for forgiveness, make up for the things that we are missing, whether it is salah, whether it is fasting, whether it is zakah, whatever it may be. And regarding our relationship with people, let's ask them, inshallah, for forgiveness. Forgiveness on various things. Whether we spoke bad about them, whether we did bad things to them, whether we owe them. You know, it's very easy to be nice to others. But sometimes we forget. We owe women folk. Maybe, you know, sometimes you go shopping and you say, can you loan me a dollar? See the words. Can you loan me a dollar? She says, here's the dollar. Or $10 or whatever it is. You take it, you spend it. And then you just forget about it. Because what you say, I'm paying the rent. I gave you money for gas. I did this and I did that. Yes, you gave her all the other things. But you forget that $1 that you took was a loan. Was a loan. She didn't say, don't worry about it. And even if she said, don't worry about it, as a man, you should give it back. You know, there is a sheikh that said, regarding the mahar, sometimes a woman will say, you don't have to give me back the mahar. So we get happy and we say, see, she said no. The sheikh passed a fatwa and he said, why will a person say no to money? Why will a person say, if I owe you $10,000, are you just going to say no? Do you just go around giving $10,000 to everybody out there? No, you don't. So the scholar said something very beautiful. He said, if you owe her the mahar, $10,000, give it to her. After you give it to her, then if she gives it back to you, then you can say she has forgiven you. And you notice one thing. Whenever you give someone money, you know what she's going to say thereafter? Well, my mother needs to go for Hajj. My father needs this. My grandmother needs that. The children need this. You see what happens? What happens here? You thought you were forgiven. Now you realize you are not forgiven. And I'm not saying women shouldn't do this. They must do that. We are taking benefit from them. So they must take what Allah has made permissible for them. So this is their right. This is their haq. And for men, you and I, when we don't fulfill that haq, we are creating zulm. So today, what we have to do is, when we go home, start asking ourselves what we owe, what we don't owe, who we have hurt, and go about getting that necessary forgiveness. Very, very important for our development. Next thing we have to do, salah with jama'ah. Salah with jama'ah. My brothers and sisters, you know, many of us think we get up for the Tahajjud Salah. You know, there was a Shaykh al-Hadith, very beautiful thing he said in class. He said, you know, there are some people out there, they get up for the Tahajjud Salah and they go through this challenge. But you know something? Me and you can beat them in our reward. What he said, me and you, I as a teacher and you as a student, can beat them and get more reward. And we said, how come? How come? Then he mentioned the hadith. He says, if you read Isha Salah with Jama'ah and Fajr Salah with Jama'ah, it is as if you are getting reward for Ibadah the whole night. Again, you read your Isha Salah with Jama'ah and you read your Fajr Salah with Jama'ah, it is as if you took part in an entire night of worship. So whenever any brother tells me, you know, I read Tahajjud Salah every night, mashallah, every morning I get up, I sometimes want to look and say, and where did you read your Isha Salah, my brother? Where did you read your Fajr Salah, my brother? I read it with my family. Really, if Rasul Sallallahu wanted to do Salah with Jama'ah with his family, he could have done it in his bedroom. He could have done it at his different wives, at the various houses. He could have invited just those around there and said, come over, we're doing it in the house. There is a beauty why Allah wants us to get out of our houses, to go to the masjid, to perform with congregation. And for those of us that travel, you know, there was a truck driver. He made amal on this. And may Allah bless him for what he said. He said, I will do my salah in the various masjids around the states. I perform Isha Salah in Memphis. I perform Salah in such and such masjid in Texas. I perform my Fajr Salah here and my Isha Salah over there. I said, it's a wonderful thing. And he says, I will make this special dua. Whenever I go to this new place, I'll say, oh Allah, I'm at a new place, oh Allah. I have not done any sin in this place and I've tried not to do any sin. Let this one new good deed I'm trying to do become an atonement for me in the day of Qiyamah. Now these are ordinary people we're talking about, but they are extraordinary. They are ordinary people to look at, just like you and I. But they're extraordinary. Why? Because they are creative. وَسَابِقُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبَّهِ. They are creative in getting the mercy of Allah. They are creative in getting that unique reward that Allah is willing to give them. See, we are creative in business. We are creative in marketing strategies. We are creative in how to get to a new market and a new product. Why? Because we want to make that extra cash. It's important to us because we don't want to be in debt. We want to free our families from being subjugated to someone else. When we die, we want our sons and daughters, their life to become easy. We want things to get easy for us when we leave this world. But we forget, it's not only about finances alone, my brothers and sisters. It's about the legacy of Iman. I repeat, the legacy of Iman that we are willing to leave behind. This is very, very important because this takes us for many generations to come. You know, in Surah Baqarah, we all talk about the story of the cow. And the ulama have derived something very beautiful. The boy was saved. The boy got the value of the cow in gold, right? We're not going to go into the long story of it. And the ulama say the reason why Allah had mercy on this boy, because you had to look at the background of this boy. And to make a long story short, we derive from this given ayah, from the various scholars, that if we are good people, then Allah will protect, inshallah, us 7 generations down. That means if my great-grandfather was good, very good, then inshallah my grandfather will be protected, then inshallah my father will be protected, and inshallah there is a possibility I may be protected. And it can continue down. But the opposite is also true. If my great-grandfather was a mess, then chances are I will also end up being a mess. That is why in class, you know, they have this class, and I'm sure those that are taking psychology and stuff, there is a session in there where they ask you to document, how am I like my father and mother? Amazing, huh? Imagine. They learn this, I wonder, from Surah Baqarah, where they learn this from. What they make you document? How am I like my father and mother? How is my child like me? In the good as well as the bad. And you will realize we share a lot of good, but we also share a lot of bad to our children. Bad habits. And we don't realize that when we do this, we are destroying a part of ourselves. So how do we stop this destruction? Again, coming back to the beauty of this wonderful hadith, now that we're in the month of Sha'ban, getting ready for Ramadan, let's start coming to the masjid a little more often. Let us join, and by the way, there are various masjids. Just because you don't come here, it doesn't mean you're not coming anywhere. So I shouldn't judge you and you shouldn't judge others. But there are many masajids now in Utah. Some told me a little as 10, some say as much as 12, 13. Alhamdulillah. So you have no excuse anymore that the masjid is very far, or I don't like the certain official, or I don't like the certain imam, or I don't like how the masjid is set up. No more you have an excuse. So Isha and Fajr Salah, you've got to take seriously. And by doing that, inshallah, Allah will sort of bless us greatly. You know, to end off on a humorous point here, and I'm sure some of you saw this out there, where the woman is asking the guy, the husband, are you going to fast in Ramadan? No, 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 I can't fast in Ramadan. Days are very, very long. I get very, very thirsty. I get very, very tired. Okay? Are you going to read Tarawih Salah? Oh, the imam reads very slow and, you know, my legs, they start hurting. You know, I can't read Tarawih Salah. It ends up too late, 2 o'clock, we come home. Then she asked him a third question. Are you going to do iftar? And he looks at her and says, what do you think, I'm a kafir? Of course I'm going to do iftar. So my brothers, let's not end up this way. Let us take Ramadan very, very seriously. Let us fast in this given month. Let us start performing salah in this given month. And let us take the suhoor very, very seriously, as well as the iftar. May Allah help us and guide us at all times. Wa akhir da'wana.